Our guest now is helping to bring art to the people and younger ones at that. Hayley King has been making her mark on the art world since 2003 and is better known by her artistic name, Phlox. Her distinctive designs are made by aerosol and stencils and adorn everything from walls and prints to cushions and clothes. Her illustrations are also in two book collaborations with author Malcolm Clark. The first was Tū Meki Tui and the most recent is Tū Meki Tuatara. Hayley, well, Phlox is with us now in the Auckland studio. Kia ora and welcome. Lovely to have you with us.
Kia ora, Catherine.
How did you and Malcolm Clark first begin working together?
Oh gosh, it was some time ago. I think we worked together on a really early Māori TV doco, and that was the first time he saw my artwork, and then he actually commissioned me to do a piece for him, which he still has in his lounge. So that was a really nice start to a beautiful relationship. And then from there, he had this incredible idea and had written this book, and I think he kind of had me in mind for it, and yeah, the rest is history, really.
I think it was our beloved reviewer, John McIntyre, who reviewed that first collaboration. Yes, it was.
Right.
Yes. Would you believe that the book has finally made it into my hands? It's been a bit of a saga getting Tū Meki Tuatara, the new one, into my hands, and I can see now how spectacular this is.
Yeah, thank you.
Conceptually, when you are given this beautiful story, but, you know, how much room are you given just to bring your full artistic vision to what this is going to be presented like? Because colour and richness and depth, I mean, these are all signatures of your work, right? But how else did you come at this from the perspective of the illustrator and want to do justice to it?
I think, you know, we had quite a nice foundation in terms of process and how that kind of unfolded from doing the first book. And that, the way in which that went was the actual publisher slash graphic designer, they actually gave me kind of like a storyboard on how they could see each page layout unfolding. And so that was really just a cue or a source of inspiration in terms of composition and what was sort of needed in each page. But aside from that, you know, it really is left up to me for artistic interpretation, and that's kind of like the way I like it, I suppose, because that's really when, I guess, the creative process really unfolds and it breathes and it just kind of works along really naturally.
Well, we have a tuatara, of course. We have lots of other beautiful wildlife. Moorpork, I'm guessing this owl is. Uh-huh. And we've got, what else have we got in here? We've got native birds. I can see a tui. What is a penguin, little
yes,
blue?
If you go to the back, yeah, you'll see all of the flora fauna labelled, and there's a little can you spot page as well.
See, that's interesting, because you would want to be as accurately, yes, anatomically. It's, goodness, have you done all these ones?
Mm-hmm.
The little hoo-hoo beetle, all of them. How many are there? About 20-something.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on in that book, and that's really what I wanted to step up from our first experience with Tū Meki Tui. We've had amazing feedback from that first book, and how much children like to spot the little, you know, the little attributes, the little insects and beetles and things like that. So for me, that was I really wanted to ramp that part up and really pack in the pages.
So there's the challenge of being accurate anatomically, and then there's this other component, which is to bring the magic alive with colour and a depth that's pretty special. How do you do this in an actual procedural form? How do you get
process
such depth of colour and variation of colour?
Yep, that's a good question. So in actual fact, my process changed quite dramatically because of lockdown, and fortuitously I actually bought myself an iPad Pro, which arrived a couple of days before we went into level 4. And so I used my level 4 to upskill and to teach myself this new technology and to learn how to draw and render my stencils that previously I had been hand cutting and hand painting. So every every insect, every bird, flora, piece of flora, everything that you see on every page is a separate drawing / hand-painted stencil. So now Tūmeke Tui, for example, was completely done all analogue, so every component is a hand-painted stencil, quite, much larger than what you see on the pages. But this time round, it's a combination. It's a combination of using the iPad Pro to render digitally and also throwing in components like the tuatara, for example, which have been hand-cut and hand-painted. So for me, you know, lockdown was quite an incredible experience from that point of view. The book, you know, I illustrated that book from start to finish during level four. So it really was an incredible gift of time, which I never seem to have. So
I kind of feel like it flops.
I kind of feel like if I didn't have that level four, then I'd still be sort of sitting on page two or something, you know. So I'm very grateful for that.
I've spoken to so many artists, often musicians, for whom, you know, I'm sure they felt the same stress and anxiety as everyone else, but actually got this block of time to focus really intensively on a project. But what you have described is quite a sort of laborious process, but has it yielded something that surpassed what you might otherwise have achieved?
Yes, I think so. It really forced me down that alleyway of learning new technology and bringing that into my process, and that's something that I've really been wanting to achieve for the last couple of years. You know, it is laborious. It's what I call a labour of love, and it has affected my body over the last 20 years. You know, hand cutting stencils and hand painting it's a physically demanding job. So it's actually been very enlightening and something really cool for me to bring into the process and to just make my life a little bit easier, working smarter, so to speak. So, I'm very, very grateful for that time that I was given in level four.
Tūmeke Tui was made into a stage play. Was that a first for you, to see your work appear in a live visual performance like that?
Yes, absolutely. That was absolutely mind-blowing, and I was so grateful for everyone that organised that. I kind of took a step back and, gave them my permission and sort of said go for it. So I took my little boy Indy to see it here at Aotea Centre, and yeah, it was really cool. It was just so neat to see all the laughter and smiles in the audience.
Not the first time you've done live visuals, though. I think the fabulous Fly My Pretties, which is always a brilliant experience for so many reasons, but you did the visuals for one of their concerts going back in the day?
Yes, correct. That was in, I'm going to guess, I think it was 2011. I did the visuals for their show, which toured throughout New Zealand and Melbourne, and I got to tag along, so that was pretty cool.
It's an interesting way that you organise in some ways, because at some point, obviously you're incredibly busy, as we said, all artists are taking on commissions, they're organising their lives around peaks and flows and unexpected events. But you brought a real sense of business to the way you work with respect to how you would work. Could you explain a bit more? I'm not talking about sort of money making, it's more putting a business structure around how you work. Could you explain more? I think a lot of artists and would-be graduates would learn something.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've always had that focus on turning my passion into something that created an income for me, and as it has progressed along, it's created jobs for my wonderful team. And so it's just kind of been this crazy journey, really, one that I didn't overly anticipate, but I also planned for it, if that makes sense. I think it's a case of being strategic in who I align myself with and who I say yes to and the jobs that I decide to take on. I just think, you know, every morning I'm very, very grateful for what I do, and, you know, it's such a versatile job. Every day is very different, and I've sort of got my fingers in quite a few different pies, and I think that's probably key. I never sort of put myself into a single pigeonhole, so to speak. I kept sort of doorways open, and I sort of thought, well, I don't want to be one type of artist. I just want to be an artist, and I kind of want to do it all.
Two things to observe also, the medium or the media are broad. including, all sorts of, there's rugs, I think, that are being sold, there's the books, there's T-shirts and jigsaws. So is that a pure business decision, or is some of that actually also fun and something else to explore?
Yeah, I think it's, the products that I choose to go with are all, very strategically thought through, and they must be a reflection on the brand, which means really a reflection on me. So everything that I produce has to be very much on brand and a reflection on who I am as a person. So, for example, I did the yoga mats, like I'm very into my mindfulness and yoga. I have a great sort of sense of home, so I'm sort of getting into more sort of homewares. Everything is, I enjoy doing so many different mediums, and I think that also comes from the fact that, as you mentioned initially, I make art for the people, and I've never ever wanted to be that person where I'm inaccessible or perhaps too elitist for people. So there's sort of something for everyone.
There was a disturbing and I'm sure very upsetting incident earlier in this year. I'm just thinking about one of our top fashion designers who's had thefts of her work. You had significant artwork stolen, which I imagine is both heartbreaking and probably caused a bit of anger as well. But has that been resolved?
Yeah, really interesting time. The short answer is no, it hasn't been resolved, but the case is closed, unfortunately. It's just been a really good indication for us to beef up our security, which we have. It really, really took me by surprise, and, I think, yes, obviously I was angry and just very shocked, didn't expect that to ever happen, but at the same time, slightly flattered, which is a really strange combination of feelings.
It's normally the screen or something, doesn't it? or a Van Gogh. It's a curious one. Did it appear to be like a deliberate targeting?
It appears that way. Mm. He came in and bypassed the new iMac computer, for example, and, other pieces of tech, and went straight for the big hand-painted pieces on the wall. So I believe it was an order.
Yeah, well, I know the value of art is going through the roof, as most assets are at the moment, but you'd rather folk just came and paid for it, or even came and asked for it, Flocks, I imagine.
Rather that, yes.
Is it particularly, given this approach that you want art to be part of everyday things in everyday life, is it particularly enjoyable to be putting a great book out to the world that's going to be in the hands of kids, part of reading, part of that connecting and conversation we know that children need, and hopefully just loving a book so much that they chew it to bits over time? Is that a particularly gratifying aspect of the work you're doing?
It is absolutely, mind-blowing. I love creating artwork and, for children and working with kids in general. I teach a lot of workshops in schools and I paint murals in schools, and that part of the business seems to be becoming more and more popular. So it's just been a wonderful experience again to collaborate with Little Love Publishing and Malcolm Clark on this amazing book. And, we've just become lifelong friends because of it. And I really do hope that this book, just as Tūmeke Tui has, remains on shelves for many years to come.
It is chewable too, I should say, which is something to think about in a book. Pages get ripped and ruined, but
indeed, nice,
this book
nice
can be
thick
loved
pages. Yes, thick pages and laminated as well, so you can literally wipe it clean if you need to.
Which is good stuff. Flocks, thanks very much. The artist, Hayley King, the artist Flocks.